or to look up on the screen to Acts chapter 19. You know, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he continued to minister for another 50 days, and then he ascended, and following his ascension, the apostles and the disciples, they went out sharing the gospel, the good news of great joy for all people. And they began sharing that with the Jews in Jerusalem, but then they went out across the empire. And they taught about this new life in Jesus Christ, this new life through Jesus Christ that changed their life, that made their life better, and they called this the way. It's the way of the Lord, the way of the Master, the way of Jesus. And so we're continuing our series exploring what it means to live in this way, what the early church believed and how it changed their life and how it changes our life. Let's find out more. Let's follow along as we hear the good news. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. So while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took a route through the interior and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you came to believe?" And they replied, "We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And then he said, "What baptism did you receive then?" They answered, "John's baptism." And Paul explained, "John baptized with a baptism by which people showed they were changing their hearts and lives. It was a baptism that told people about the one who was coming after him. This is the one whom they were to believe. This one is Jesus." And after they listened to Paul, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in other languages and prophesying. And all together, there were about 12 people. And Paul went to the synagogue and spoke confidently for the next 3 months. And he interacted with those present and offered convincing arguments concerning the nature of God's kingdom. Some people had closed their minds, though. They refused to believe and publicly slandered the way. As a result, Paul left them, took the disciples with him, and continued his daily interactions in Tyrannus' lecture hall. And this went on for 2 years, so that everyone living in the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the Lord's word. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may your Holy Spirit help us as we hear to understand your holy word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, floated and blew over the face of the deep. And when God created human beings and formed them in God's own image, then God breathed into them God's own breath, God's Spirit. God breathed into them and gave them God's breath, Spirit, and life. This was our first glimpse of the Holy Spirit at work within us. But then throughout the scriptures, we see God's Spirit appear and anoint people over and over and giving people God's power. One of the most famous is the prophet Elijah. Many of you have heard stories about Elijah, and some of these stories are he came across a widow and her son who were starving to death, and they only had a little bit of flour and oil, and Elijah did a miracle where that flour and oil did not run out. And they were able to make food for themselves, but not just for themselves. They were able to make enough food from that flour and oil so that they could sell bread and cake to provide a living for themselves. And then later on, Elijah would resurrect that widow's son from the dead. But that's not all that happened. Elijah also, one time, he called down fire on Mount Carmel on the prophets of Baal. And then another time, Elijah called down fire again and took out a military regiment that was set up against him. And then he crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. And finally, he was called up into heaven in a firestorm and on a chariot of fire. That was the Holy Spirit at work. Later on, we would see John the Baptist in his ministry, and he professed that he baptized with water, but one was coming after him who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And then we see God's Holy Spirit at work and the power of God at work in Jesus. In fact, Jesus doesn't do a single miracle until after his baptism when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And Jesus called the Holy Spirit our companion, our advocate, our comforter. He said it is the Spirit of truth. He said for us it is power from heaven on high. And after his resurrection, Matthew records Jesus telling the disciples to go out and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then John records Jesus breathing on the disciples and giving them the Holy Spirit. And then Luke records the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes into the upper room like a mighty rushing wind and flames of fire dancing on all the disciples' heads. And then all of a sudden, it is giving them the power that Jesus promised. And from there, the disciples went out proclaiming the gospel, making disciples. And then during that time, they discovered two huge, huge, huge things about the Holy Spirit. The first is that the Holy Spirit doesn't discriminate. They didn't get to say who received the Holy Spirit and who didn't. It was available to all, both Jews and Gentiles, to all who would believe in Jesus. See, before that, they thought that only Jews could be followers of Jesus, and that only Jewish followers of Jesus could receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would only come upon them. Yet the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles or the non-Jews or the Greeks too. Second, the Holy Spirit often worked from person to person through the intimacy of touch, through the laying on of hands. When we read about Jesus and his miracles, many times he was laying hands on people or touching people to heal them or bring healing to them. And in the same way, the disciples continued to lay hands on people and touch people. And the disciples discovered that they shared the Holy Spirit through touch, through contact with one another. Just as we put our hand on somebody when we pray for them, that's how they were experiencing the Holy Spirit. Now, as the apostles traveled out beyond Jerusalem, and they made their way towards throughout the empire and towards Rome. They discovered there were already people who knew a little bit about Jesus out there. But they didn't know everything that had happened in Jerusalem. They didn't know about his death and his resurrection. They didn't know about Pentecost. They didn't know everything that was going on. And so as the disciples went out, they would go to these different places, starting off in the synagogues and then moving to the teaching places and market spaces. But when they found these people who hadn't heard about Jesus, who weren't aware of everything that was happening, they had an opportunity to share even more. And that's exactly what Paul is experiencing here in Ephesus. There's a group of about a dozen disciples, and they didn't know about being baptized in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In fact, they had never even heard of the Holy Spirit or anything that had happened at Pentecost. And so Paul explains to them the gospel. And he baptized them. And then he laid hands on them. And then they received the Holy Spirit. And their lives were changed. I think today, we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit for the work it does in and around and through our life. I've heard some people call the Holy Spirit the forgotten God because some people think that the Holy Spirit is no longer active today, that the power of God is no longer available to us or to you or I or to the church today, and that miracles, that they no longer happen. Now, anybody of us ever see or experience a miracle? Yeah, that's proof that things do happen. Now, I believe that people who believe that these things don't happen, I think that they really love Jesus. I believe that the church is proof of the Holy Spirit at work today. The Holy Spirit is alive in us, in the church, and in you today. You know, when you get baptized, several things happen. You first make a profession of faith, and then you experience the water, and then the pastor lays hands on you. And he prays that the Holy Spirit work within you and through you so that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And Scripture teaches us that when you have the Holy Spirit, a whole new spiritual world is opened up to you. That there are things available to you that weren't available to you before. And maybe you've heard the phrase that God doesn't always call the equipped, but God equips the called. Well, God has called you into His family, and God equips you with gifts and graces through the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. England said, bring back some allergies with you, Daniel. So God has called you into His family. And since you are called into God's family, God is equipping you with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've heard of some of these gifts, and maybe you're aware that you may have some of them. And some of these gifts include wisdom, knowing the right thing to do, or knowledge, having a keen understanding of things, or perhaps healing, that you bring healing to others. Or there's other kinds of miracles where things happen through you and around you that defy the laws of nature. And then there's prophecy, which is knowing God's will and being able to speak God's will. And there's discernment, understanding people and knowing the right decision to make. And then there's speaking and understanding different languages. There's serving, the ministry of helping others. There's teaching, the ministry of helping others to learn. There's the encouragement, the ministry of helping the people and the church around you to lift them up. There's generosity, which is giving that goes beyond what is required or what is asked of you. And there's leading with passion. There's mercy, the ability not to desire to seek revenge. There's cheerfulness, which is being gracious and joy-filled even under stress. There's enthusiasm. It's being excited about the good things that are happening, the good things that are going to happen. And also there's love. Loving and being loving and devoted towards one another no matter what. The Scripture tells us the greatest of all of these gifts is love. But those were gifts. And you may have one of them. Maybe you have two of them or three of them. Maybe you recognize multiple of these in you. Maybe you've got all of them. Whatever it is that you have, use it because you have it for a reason. But then for all of us, we can also show that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in our life when we produce the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of God's Spirit within us. And we know these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that come out of us when the Holy Spirit is active and alive in us. But here's the thing about the spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. They're gifts. You can't earn them or buy them. You receive them by God's grace. And they're kind of like muscles. You know, when you go for a walk or for a run on in your daily exercise routine or you go to the gym, what happens? You know, you get stronger or you remain strong, you maintain your strength. But if you don't, if you sit around or sit on the couch all the time or don't do anything or don't do exercise, what happens? get weaker, right? We want to be stronger in our spiritual gifts. In the same way it works with our spiritual gifts and the fruit that we produce, that you must work them, you must practice them to get better at them and to keep them in shape. And God has given you the Holy Spirit so that you can be empowered to do good things and great things for God. I encourage you to work those spiritual muscles. Train them. Exercise them. Use them. Put them to good work. Here's how the early church saw the importance of the Holy Spirit. They included the Spirit in the creeds. You ever notice that? You ever notice that whenever we say a creed, and in this service, we always say the Apostles' Creed on the first Sunday of the month? And there are three parts. The first part is to God the Father. The second part is to the Son, Jesus Christ. And the third part is about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us because it's through the Holy Spirit that we are the church. Not just our church, but we are part of the universal worldwide church of all believers. That through the Holy Spirit, we fellowship with one another and we have communion with God. That through the Holy Spirit, we receive forgiveness and that we offer forgiveness of sins. That through the Holy Spirit, we are resurrected in the last days. And through the Holy Spirit, we have eternal life, everlasting life, which is the power of God in our life that is starting right now, right here, and lasting forever. In essence, it's the Holy Spirit that is God's power at work in you and through you and in and through us as the church. And anyone who doesn't think that they have the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to come see me after worship. I'll be right down here. Come and see me and let's introduce you to the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't have to be a supernatural speaking in tongues kind of event, though those do happen. And when they do, they're quite powerful. But John Wesley, he said when he experienced the Holy Spirit, it was a strange warmness in his heart and he had an assurance of his salvation. Later, Phoebe Palmer said that the Holy Spirit was like a shortcut to sanctification, that is becoming more like Jesus and being made perfect in love. And that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, to have the power of Jesus in our life, to be more like Jesus, to bring change to this world so that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I grew up in a religion where I was always afraid of God. God was always peeking down, looking for me, just waiting for me to mess up so God could smite me where I stood and catch me in my sin. I wanted to do something good for God, but I didn't think God could use me. That's what my childhood religion taught me about God. But one day while in college, I realized that that's not who God is at all. And I learned about the Holy Spirit and how God can and does want to use me. And how God has given me the Holy Spirit to help me do things, good things for God. And my whole life changed. God can use you. God wants to use you to do good things. And God is offering you the Holy Spirit so that you, each and every single one of you, so that you can do something for God. I don't know what your gift is, but I know that God has given you at least one. You have the Holy Spirit. And if you think you don't, then I want you to know that you can have the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit will change your life so that you can make life better and others better at life through Jesus Christ. Amen?